FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz, and today is 8/7/18. Well, gold been doing nothing. It's taken a pretty significant decline. Is it going to continue? Is it oversold? Where does it leave us? Well, hey, before we get into all that, as always, I invite you to email us and be a part of the show. The email address is kl@carrielutz.com. And we answer all of your emails. So question is, where are precious metals heading? Is it time to just pack it in and move on? Well, director of Kitco's precious metal division, Peter Hug, I'm sure you're not quite ready to do that yet, but welcome back to the show.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here again, Carrie.
So where are we here? What's going on? Is this just summer nonsense, or is there a deeper movement here that you might not be catching? Where are we?
Well, you know, I think it really depends on your perception of the market. Basically, investors that have, sort of the perception that gold is the end-all, be-all of all investments are obviously disappointed, and some are seriously disappointed, especially if they entered the market back in 2011 at the height at 19 and a quarter. But, you know, gold is a commodity, just as is oil and, the food commodity groups. Copper, silver, you know, whatever you want to put in that basket, and commodities tend to trade in cycles. And we had the serious issues back with the financial crisis in 2008 to 2011, when all of the central banks in the world basically created massive liquidity by pumping money into the banking system, which brought interest rates down to zero. And there was legitimate fear in the financial markets at the time that there would be an imminent collapse and it would lead to a 1929 style depression. And gold did its job and acted as a safe haven trade, as well as a pure hedge against the possibility of inflation with all of this monetary easing. Subsequent to that, in 2012, the Fed gave very, very clear signals. And, in the history of the gold market back in the 70s and 80s, the Fed never transmitted their signals. They would sometimes on a Saturday raise interest rates by a point or drop them by a point. And by the time you came in Monday morning, the market would be in total disarray. The Fed's been very, very disciplined in how they're telegraphing their signals. And over the past 2 years specifically, they've indicated that they want to normalize U.S. interest rates, and they're on the path to do that. And they continue to at least speak the language of two further increases this year and possibly as many as two to three more next year. I don't happen to be in that camp, but the interest rates in the U.S. are definitely on an upward slope, whereas in the EU and in Japan, they are still pursuing an easy monetary policy. It's not expected that the ECB, the European Central Bank, is going to be aggressively tightening monetary policy until at least the spring of 2019. So what that's happened is you've had monetary flows moving away from the euro and the Japanese yen into the dollar. A stronger dollar tends to be negative for commodities, since most commodities are priced in dollars. So you've had a trend that's developed, quite frankly, for now almost 7 years, where the slope has been towards a stronger dollar, tightening monetary policy in the U.S., and really no major geopolitical issues now. That can change in a heartbeat with Iran, and it could obviously change with the U.S. handling of the North Korean denuclearization promise. So, you know, those types of things are unknowns, but if they were to flare up, the story would change quickly. If you just look at the fundamental financial side, as long as the dollar, continues to be well bid and interest rates are on an upward slope, it creates headwinds for the commodity group generally, gold specifically. And that's why you've seen this this sort of slow but constant deterioration in the price of gold since the high of 2011.
Uh-huh. So there's a lot of uncertainties, a lot of things going on here. And just because gold isn't rising in U.S. dollars, it could be rising in other currencies, which we're seeing. And, you know, we just don't know what the triggering event is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, against Canadian dollars, the gold has dropped, but certainly not to the same percentage level that it has dropped against the U.S. dollar. So, you know, in certain currencies, I'll give you like if you were in Argentina right now, gold would actually be up on a cycle basis, based not on anything specific to gold, but based specifically on the deterioration of the Argentine economy and the currency. So it really depends, from what lens you're looking at gold. Now, from a U.S. dollar perspective, I'm actually starting to get bullish the gold market. And again, it depends how you look at it, from what lens, whether you're looking at it from the lens of a trader or lens of an investor. But I think the downside from these levels is relatively limited, maybe 5% more on gold, because I do not think the U.S. dollar's upward path will continue much past the third quarter. I think coming into the fourth quarter this year, the dollar is probably going to have plateaued and probably start to weaken off to some degree. And I think that builds the case that, sort of mid to end of third quarter, coming into fourth quarter, I would see the gold price starting to show more of an upward slope as opposed to the downward spiral it's been in for the past year and a half.
Yeah. So yeah, it's interesting to see. And I think the miners, they don't seem to be too taken aback by this current decline. At the conferences I've been to, you know, I think they were much happier that Bitcoin bit the dust than they were upset over prices of precious metals taking a plunge.
Mm-hmm. That's probably, yeah, it's probably true. I mean, one caveat I'd like to mention, I've been, again, in this business since 1973. So it's one thing to call a bottom in a market, and that could be in the mining sector, or it could just be in the actual raw metal, gold or silver, platinum, palladium, whichever metal you want to speak on. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it bottoms doesn't necessarily mean it's going higher right away. Commodities sometimes, when they trough, have a tendency of staying and bouncing along support or more the bottom of the channel for sometimes longer than investors have the patience to stay with the trade. I mean, a perfect example of that was in 92 to 2002, where, you know, gold was just south of $400 an ounce, and it traded in the $50 range for 10 years.
Yeah.
So I don't think that scenario is going to develop. I think we're going to have a capitulation on the downside, where everybody basically just literally throws the baby out with the bathwater and starts to give up. And I think that would mark the bottom. Then there'll probably be some consolidation for 2 or 3 months, but that would mark the low in this cycle. And then I think the next cycle, I'm not going to suggest it's going to break the highs of 2011, but the next cycle certainly should take it considerably higher than where the trough is going to be. And I see that trough somewhere in around 1160, 1180 US for gold.
Yeah, that would make sense. And it's not unreasonably below where it is now. What about silver? Were you seeing?
I like silver. I mean, we've had a trade on, for investors that wanted to be bullish this market and mitigate their risk, we suggested a trade a couple of months back that's still working, and that was the gold-silver ratio. Silver was trading at about, at the time we suggested the trade, 82.5 ounces of silver to an ounce of gold. Mm-hmm. We suggested that that ratio should come in to somewhere around 74 ounces of silver to an ounce of gold. It's currently just a little north of 78 ounces of silver to an ounce of gold. I like the trade because if everything goes wrong and gold actually starts to move higher for geopolitical reasons or financial reasons, I think silver from current levels is going to outperform gold on the upside. So I think your percentage play on that is much greater. If you're looking to be naked long silver, again, on the trade we suggested, you've got a hedge. You're just playing the ratio to narrow in. But if you're looking for a naked long. I like silver for two reasons. One, in the scenario that I just indicated where everything goes wrong, gold's going to go much higher, but I think in percentage terms, silver outperforms. In a scenario where the economy of the U.S. actually is on reasonable and strong and sustainable growth, and that growth starts to feed into the European market, I think then silver, with the industrial component to its price, will see more demand and definitely behave better than gold on a sort of neutral to down market. So that's why we like that silver-gold ratio hedge for to protect on the downside and still make money on the trade. But if you're outright bullish these markets, I like silver better than gold just from a risk-reward percentage return.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. I mean, it's been beaten up. It's way down from its peak, much more so than gold, obviously. And the volatility, so when the metals do start moving at that point, you're going to have a higher upside potential on it. So I guess the real question is, like, what's the time frame for all this? We can't obviously pin you down to a date certain, but if you had to take a wild guess, and we're not going to hold you to it, you know, this is just off the top of your head, what kind of time frame for this?
I think the catalyst will occur within 3 months, worst case four. I'm looking at the midterm elections as being, I think it could be a major market catalyst. Mm-hmm. I mean, if the Republicans lose control, then basically you have a lame duck president for the next 2 years, which means that the stock market, in my opinion, at that point might start to look rich and then start to correct, maybe on a sustainable basis for a period of time. I don't see like a 20% overnight, but I see the market then starting to slope downward in the equity market. I think the Fed at that point takes their foot off the gas. I'd be surprised. If the Fed moves, they've got to move in September at the September meeting. They can't move in November when the elections are on. So September is the next time for the Fed to move. If they don't move, that means they're either not wanting to interfere with the election, or they're concerned that the economic growth, the 4.1% GDP number we had in the second quarter, might just be a blip. So I'm looking for the Fed as my signal to sort of back away from their hawkish language and start to put a couple of caveats in. Well, we still want to raise rates, but we want to see this first. That would be the first sign that they're coming off the gas. And also the elections, I think, are going to be key. If the Republicans get more seats and they now have an absolute majority where they can get anything passed they want, then I think the gold price, the gold market might still have some work ahead of itself.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think that's a pretty good overview. I'm inclined to agree with you. I think at some point there's a good possibility the Fed is going to have to back off on the rate increases and maybe even start cutting again. But right now, you know, 4.1% economic growth next quarter promises to be higher. It could be a couple of quarters barring any geopolitical turmoil here.
Yeah, it could be. But again, I think the election is going to tell us a lot.
Yes, the election will. And as somebody once said, some politician who will go nameless, elections do have consequences, right?
You got that right.
Yeah. So it's just a question of what's going to set it off. And it was interesting because up until the decline recently, gold would show weakness and then something would happen on the international front and it would jump back up and recover all of its losses. And then the past month and a half, that trend stopped happening. So maybe it's the calm before the storm?
Well, you know, I mean, North Korea, I don't see them denuclearizing, but again, it's been quiet there. The Iranian verbiage back and forth has been a little bit more aggressive, but again, I don't see anything in the short term that is going to happen there that's going to be explosive from the perspective I don't even want to use the word war, but any aggressive action there. I think right now the U.S. is still going to try to hammer Iran with sanctions. Mm-hmm. I think the big question mark is the trade war that is developing, although the Trump administration refuses to use the word war. The trade dispute that is developing based on their verbiage between the U.S. and China could be significant. China's letting their currency devalue to offset some of the tariff cost of the U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods. But if you look at Chinese goods, pretty much everything you buy at Walmart is made in China. The middle class to lower class base that has voted for Trump, if China retaliates, and even if they don't, and we put a 25% tariff on Chinese imported goods, I don't think the U.S. manufacturing base has the capacity to gin up and get this started very quickly, and certainly probably even with a 25% tariff, not cheaper than China can produce. So you have a situation where you're going to have price inflation coming in at a level at the consumer level that is Trump's base. Mm-hmm. So, that again could be significant in the election, but it certainly does sort of set the ground rules up for potentially an inflationary issue somewhere down the road if this trade dispute gets out of hand.
Yeah, well, my feeling is just what happened with the EU is going to happen with China. It's going to happen with Mexico. It's happening now as we speak. Mexico mm-hmm. is on the verge of an agreement with the U.S. Mm-hmm. It's even going to happen with Canada, but Canada will be the last and will get the worst terms on the deal. And you can thank your prime minister for that. But because you know that if the U.S. puts a 10% duty tariff on cars produced in Canada and a $10 per barrel surcharge on oil produced in the tar sands, you guys are going to feel that to the north.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not, I totally agree, but there's one difference between Canada and the EU and China.
Yeah.
And that's that China owns 65% of U.S. paper that's in the market.
Very true. Very true. So it's a game of chicken, which is
they've got a stick that they can use. I can't imagine they would. It would be detrimental to their own balance sheet, but they do have some leverage that the Canadians and the EU and certainly the Mexicans do not have with the U.S.
Oh, very true. But in the end, it's just not going to work that way. This is my guess. But it'll be interesting to see, because there has to be, for the Chinese to agree to concessions, it's got to be face-saving. Xi cannot afford to lose face in a confrontation with the U.S. because mm-hmm. he'll no longer be president of China for life. They will dump him the same way they got Russians got rid of Khrushchev, where many of these strongmen have fallen. That'll be the ultimate show of weakness. He'll be done. So, but something will be worked out. But whether that's good or not for the price of precious metals, we'll have to see. But just my guess. Anyways.
Everything goes in cycles, Gary. Yeah. Everything goes in cycles.
Exactly.
And there will be another cycle for gold. And, whether it takes out the highs of 2011 is yet to be seen. But, you may need to wait another 3 or 4 years till the cycle really starts to grab. But, it's just everything comes around. And there'd be no reason for me to suggest that gold is going to sit at $800 for the next 15 years and do nothing. There's just too much going on in the world and too many risks.
For sure.
And certainly, what we didn't have in 79, 80, and what we do have today on a global basis is, budget deficits and deficit spending that is just literally out of control.
Yeah.
We can keep printing money and keep it going and pass it down to the next generation. But, that eventually will come home to roost. It's always picking the time of when,
Yeah, the increase, geometric increase in governmental deficits all over the world, and in China, it's not so much the government's deficit, but every the private sector and bank mm-hmm. debt out of control. That's not a strategy for long-term growth and stability, no matter how you cut it. Something, the piper is going to be paid at some point, just a question of when. So anyway, we find your work over at kitco.com, right? That's where you post your latest missives to all of us, right?
That's correct. I try to do it daily, but it's lately it's been feeling like Groundhog Day. So if there's something to say, I don't usually publish or print my commentary every day, only because every day almost feels like the day before. So if something, new comes out or a different perspective comes out, I wrote one this morning, but very short. And but that's where you can find me. That's correct.
Hey, you know what Eisenhower said? Things are more like they are today than they've ever been before. So it is. It's like watching the paint dry. Anyways, it's interesting. I think we're getting close to the bottom in metals. It just keep trying to move down, bounce back, move down, bounce back. Hey, I could be totally wrong, but watching this stuff for decades, I just get that feeling that we're close to it if we're not quite there yet. Anyway, the future is going to either vindicate us or condemn us. So we'll talk to you in a little while, see what's going on. Just go over to kitco.com and you can search the commentaries, Peter Hug, H-U-G. And Peter, it's always great to talk to you. Hey, just write us a letter. Email. We actually don't take paper letters. No snail mail, only emails. Or tweet us at Kerry Lutz or post something to Financial Survival Network. Peter, talk to you again real soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks. It was a pleasure, Kerry. Take care.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.